6 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Peter King.
I would like to say to all the members of the Islamic State, Kenji is not the enemy of Islamic State.
From Japan, an interpreter voices a mother's plea to release her son and another man being held hostage by ISIS. Tokyo, here's CBS's Lucy Kraft.
Tokyo says it is continuing to seek the release of Haruna Yukawa and Kenji Goto. Islamic extremists had vowed to execute the men unless a $200 million ransom was paid. But the deadline has passed with no message from the terrorists, leaving their families and the Japanese government in limbo.
That deadline was more than 5 hours ago. Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah will be buried this afternoon. His death at age 90 came after 20 years of rule and after a series of health issues. His successor is his 79-year-old half-brother, the new king, Salman. Middle East Institute scholar Michael Ryan says he expects a smooth and uneventful transition.
The security people that make the decisions in the security areas and the economics and oil people who make those decisions remain the same, and I would not expect large policy changes.
And Salman has already put a grandson of the founding monarch in line to succeed him. The Disneyland measles outbreak has hit at least 70 people in 6 states in Mexico. Most of those infected are in California, where more children are being vaccinated against measles and other diseases. We get more on that live from CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Fewer California parents are refusing to vaccinate their kids, a Los Angeles Times analysis shows. Not enough, though. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook.
The CDC told me it's clear these outbreaks are because of people who are not vaccinated.
We're talking about one of the most infectious diseases.
If you have a room with 100 people who are not vaccinated and somebody with measles walks in, 90 will come down with the measles.
There's growing criticism in California of parents clinging to disproven claims that vaccinations can cause autism. One UCLA doctor calls them incredibly selfish. Peter?
The first round of talks on normalizing relations between the U.S. and Cuba is over. In Havana, CBS's Manuel Bajorquez says both sides are encouraged.
Both sides have emerged saying, we feel that there was some productivity here. We feel that we came to agreements basically on terms to say we should move forward and we'll determine when we'll do that.
The U.S. says it's pressed Cuba for improved human rights conditions. Cuba's top diplomat says his country has never responded to pressure. New England coach Bill Belichick and quarterback Tom Brady say they knew nothing about underinflated footballs that may have helped the Patriots beat Indianapolis last Sunday. Sports Illustrated's Andy Benoit says even after both held news conferences, it's still a mystery.
What all mysteries come back to is, you know, who knew what and when did they know it? And the balls were deflated one way or the other. And I think the perception has been that they were surreptitiously deflated after they were picked out.
The NFL's investigating, but Brady says they haven't called him yet. S&P futures are up 1. This is CBS News.
If you have Medicare Part D, Walgreens can put you at the corner of switching your prescriptions and saving some money. That's because Walgreens makes it easy to switch and save with copays as low as $0 on select Medicare Part D plans. Just bring us your prescriptions and we'll do the rest. Switch to save even more today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics for select plans.
This is Charles Osgood. If back, muscle, or joint pain is something you're starting the new year with, make a resolution to stop it with Salonpas Jet Spray. This fast-acting, no-mess spray contains two powerful pain-relieving ingredients that soothe muscle and joint pain. Salonpas Jet Spray is easy to apply, easy to carry with you, and it has the strength to last for up to 8 hours between applications. Look for the blue bottle with the blue cap. Salonpas, for targeted relief.
Apple will debut a new high-tech watch later this year, but as CBS's Jim Shenevy reports, it may be a case of buyer beware.
The new Apple Watch is due to hit stores this spring, and those who are willing to pony up the $350 for this latest gadget are sure to get a charge out of it, literally. That's because you won't want to get far from a power outlet if you plan to use the Apple Watch much. The battery isn't living up to expectations. Reports from those testing the watch show it can go from fully charged to dead as the proverbial doornail in just 4 hours. That's with constant use. Apparently, it can last up to 19 hours under combined active-passive use. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
The South Florida couple who ran a butt doctor practice out of their home has pleaded guilty to practicing without a license. Prosecutors say they provided so-called touch-up injections to customers who wanted enhancements. They were arrested after an exotic dancer was permanently disfigured. I'm Peter King, CBS News.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. But with the PMI Advantage from Quicken Loans, you may never have to pay those expensive monthly mortgage insurance premiums again. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you that the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. Make the smart call and talk to one of our home loan experts today at 800-QUICKEN. You'll learn how the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This morning on WCHL, another lawsuit has been filed alleging UNC did not provide a proper college education to its student athletes.
The two named plaintiffs are Rashonda McCann, played on the women's basketball team, and Devin Ramsey, who played on the UNC football team.
Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools officials want to move away from longevity bonuses for teachers to a pay scale that rewards professional development. And approximately 1,350 gallons of untreated sewage spilled into a tributary, the Eno River, on Tuesday of this week. The Hillsborough officials say garbage was to blame. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports this morning. The number 12-ranked North Carolina women's basketball team ends North Carolina State 67-63 in the 100 meeting between the two ACC rivals. And
could the latest lawsuit against UNC and the NCAA be good for Carolina?
That's this morning at our Jansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
607 WCHL at the beginning of another pretty good day. We do have some clouds expected today and rain likely, possibly in the afternoon. Much cooler temperatures are high today, only in the upper 30s. It is right now 31 degrees in Chapel Hill, about the same temperature as it was yesterday, but more of a cloudy day today. Another lawsuit has been filed alleging the University of North Carolina did not provide a proper college education to its student athletes. A class action lawsuit was filed in Durham County on Thursday afternoon. WCHL's Blake Hodge spoke with attorney Bob Orr, who filed the lawsuit.
Who is actually listed as the plaintiffs on this lawsuit?
The two named plaintiffs and representatives of the class are two former UNC athletes, Rashonda McCann, who played on the women's basketball team, and Devin Ramsey, who played on the UNC football team.
And what are they seeking out of this lawsuit?
Well, the class action is against the NCAA and UNC, and it involves, of course, the failure of both the NCAA and UNC to deliver the commitment to a legitimate college education, which was breached through these, you know, they've been referred to as paper courses, but they're courses that there was no faculty involvement and that a number of athletes were put in, could be one class, could be a half dozen class, depending. But they're representatives of the class, and the class alleged in the complaint are all UNC football and men's and women's basketball players who took these academically unsound courses.
There's a lot more to that interview with Blake Hodge and attorney Bob Orr. You can get it on our website, chapelboro.com. Bob Orr spoke with Blake Hodge yesterday. Hear the whole interview on our website, chapelboro.com. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools officials want to move away from longevity bonuses for teachers to a pay scale that rewards professional development. While that might mean more money for some educators, it could come at a cost to others. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Some will be very upset, and yet I think it's the best thing to do in the long term for teachers so that you don't have to go be an assistant principal in order to make more money.
That's Chapel Hill Carrboro School Board member James Etta Bedford speaking at a board meeting last week. Last year, the North Carolina General Assembly passed a budget that requires school systems to submit a plan for differentiated teacher pay. Chapel Hill Carrboro officials say they want to make sure the pay plan the district adopts will support the progress of all teachers, not just the top performers. Board Chair Mike Kelly said the plan under consideration now meets that goal.
A possible alternative that the state legislature could impose upon us might look very ugly. This, to me, seems like it's homegrown. It comes from our professionals, and it's been developed and thought out in a way which is very careful, deliberative, and not reactionary.
A committee of teachers, staffers, and advisors from UNC School of Education recently sat down to evaluate options for reconfiguring teacher pay. They came up with a plan in which teachers would earn points for participating in professional development and get credit for rising student test scores. These points would then translate into salary increases. But this could mean those teachers who don't invest in professional development might lose out on potential pay raises, as longevity bonuses would no longer be guaranteed. Still, given that many teachers have seen their compensation levels frozen for years, Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze said the new plan might be better than the status quo.
Their current reality is they've been standstill for 6-7 years, and now the new model that the state has in terms of the salary schedule shows that raises only come every 5 years. So we're trying to change that, and we think that this is a positive step in that direction.
Forsella told the board last week the full financial details are not yet available, but administrators want to make sure it doesn't cost the district more or cause those currently employed as teachers to lose ground. Kelly warned it might be tough to do both.
Unless there's new money for salaries, and that would probably have to come from the state in some fashion because it's probably not likely going to come from the district, then there may have to be some redistribution of the funds that are available.
The school board will discuss the plan further at the district's planning retreat in February. Administrators will present a final proposal to the board in March. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
What about the waste spill into the Eno River? That story and more coming up in a moment. WCHL News Time is 6:12.
The job market can be tough. It's time to show the business world that you're tougher. Durham Tech can help you build your resume with skills designed for the global economy. You'll learn what works in areas from healthcare, computer science, and foreign languages to biotechnology, construction, and real estate. Classes are taught throughout Durham and Orange counties, many in the evenings and on weekends. Visit durhamtech.edu to learn more and get ready to do great things.
Hey, Linda. Have you been working out?
I've been shopping at Rite Aid.
Huh?
Yeah, it's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. You can earn all these great rewards just by shopping. I got dance fitness sessions.
Rewards for shopping. Happy Me Year.
It's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. Earn rewards from bowling to exercise classes to vacations for every $50 you spend on participating products with your Wellness Plus card. Now through January 24th. Certain restrictions apply. Value and types of rewards will vary. See RiteAid.com/YouYear for details.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate is a comprehensive support program for students in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. If you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with a child, then Blue Ribbon is the perfect opportunity for you. We're looking for volunteers to serve 2 hours a week for a minimum of 2 years. Contact Granville Johnson at 919-918-2170, extension 5. Blue Ribbon thanks WCHL for supporting our program.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. The full UNC Board of Trustees convened on Thursday at the Carolina Inn as part of the consent agenda at the meeting, a design to improve pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicular access from Franklin Street to Cavan Avenue was presented for approval. As a result of the design, there will be 16 parking spaces lost in that area. Board member Steve Lerner says that another issue caused concern during the committee discussion on that project.
We are going to close off Franklin Street entrance to Fort Hall Alley, and we're going to move that to an entrance and exit off Columbia Street. There was concern that this curb cut at a busy intersection.
Committee member Sally Shuping Russell was the only member to be opposed to the approval, saying she's concerned about the close proximity of major intersections.
My opposition to this is probably on the entryway, which I feel like would be too close to Franklin Street, Columbia, and intersection, and was hoping that we could move it back.
Lerner says that he felt more comfortable regarding that concern once the town officials felt this would be an effective redesign. Lerner also says that input will continue to be offered as progress is made on the development in the case an issue is found. WCHL's Blake Hodge was able to catch up with UNC Chancellor Carol Folt following the meeting. You'll be able to hear portions of that conversation over the next few days here on WCHL. About 1,350 gallons of untreated sewage spilled into a tributary of the Eno River on Tuesday of this week. Hillsborough officials say garbage was to blame. A pipe near Bellevue Street became partially blocked by debris, causing the sewage to overflow into a creek behind Southern Seasons Warehouse. That creek runs into the Eno River. When employees from the Hillsborough Utilities Department came to clear the blockage, they reported numerous plastic forks, knives, and spoons clogging the pipe. Town officials say the majority of wastewater spills are caused by residents who improperly dispose of fats, oils, or garbage by putting them down the drain. The town has notified the North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources about the spill. Town employees also spread hydrated lime at the site to reduce odors and to disinfect the soil. You may not become the next Eddie Van Halen in one night, but if you head to the Carver Arts Center this weekend, you can learn more about finger picking techniques on the guitar from a resident artist. That's the instrumental work of Daniel Bachman. We'll hold a folk guitar workshop at the Art Center this Saturday. He'll also perform that night at 9 o'clock alongside Jinx Miller and Rose Cross NC. Among the things that Bachman will discuss with Miller will be their respective influences.
I'm going to be trying to talk with Jenks about the different techniques and styles that I've spent a lot of time trying to learn. And the guys that I learned stuff from and stole stuff from and the stuff that they stole stuff from. And, you know, just taking it back all the way to the beginning.
Ironically, Bachman didn't grow up wanting to be a guitar player, but that changed once he learned about the similarities between guitar and his first love, the banjo. Bachman's a native of Frederick, Maryland, who recently moved to Durham after spending years in Philadelphia. What made him choose North Carolina as a new home? Bachman says it came from playing shows here in the Tar Heel State.
I lived in Chapel Hill out by the dump for a year. It was nice, and I moved to Durham. My girlfriend's down here and everything, and I'm kind of settling in.
This is the first of many master class workshops coming to the Carborough Arts Center. You can find out more about the workshops online at artcenterlive.org. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. Traffic brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn, and not a lot of traffic so far, but the situation's going to change before you know it. And Nikki Morse will be reporting on traffic all morning long. If you spot anything that we're not reporting, call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363, or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in our entire state. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. Is actually brought to you by the Chamber of Commerce. At 31 degrees, cloudy, rain likely, mainly in the afternoon. Much cooler, our high today only in the upper 30s. Temperatures are going to remain steady in the 30s for most of the day. Tonight we're looking at rain, near steady temperatures in the upper 30s. On Saturday, rain likely, probably in the morning tomorrow. High tomorrow in the low 40s. Saturday night, clear and cold with a low in the low 30s. And then on Sunday, partly sunny, not as cool with a high in the low 50s. The Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce invites you to help celebrate the successes of our local business owners in the community at the Chamber's annual meeting presented by the Europa Center next Thursday, 11 a.m. at the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Tickets are on sale now, $55 for members, $70 for non-members. Register online at carolinachamber.org/annual meeting. It is 6:19. WCHL Championship Sports is next, and we have a lot to talk about. First of all, Carolina women's basketball, really close call last night in Raleigh. It was a narrow escape. Number 12, Carolina, defeated North Carolina State 67-63 at Reynolds Coliseum. Tar Heels started out by committing three straight turnovers. In fact, the beginning of the game was very slow for both teams. When they met on January 4th, Tar Heels blew out the Wolfpack. That didn't happen last night. In fact, North Carolina State led at halftime 26-21. Tar Heels just couldn't hit the ocean, had a hard time. In the end, it was Brittany Roundtree who went 8-for-8 at the free throw line at the final 24 seconds as Carolina edged North Carolina State. Roundtree missed all five of her field goal attempts, but finished with 9 points for the Tar Heels and now trail the Wolfpack 51-49 with their eighth straight win in the oldest league rivalry. That was the 100th time those two teams had played each other last night. A little bit later on in the morning, we'll be talking to Walter Storholt about last night's game. But the Tar Heels came out of it with a win. Number 15, North Carolina men returned to the Smith Center on Sunday for a 2 p.m. tip-off with Florida State. Despite the mediocre record, 10-9 in the season, the Noles are coming in with some momentum, fresh off a gritty road win at Clemson early in the week. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more.
There are mixed reviews for the Tar Heels. Carolina has won four straight in conference play and is coming off an impressive performance at Wake Forest, where the game was never in doubt. But the injury bug has hit. Exactly who will be available for active duty Saturday remains a mystery. Nate Britt and Theo Pinson are just the latest duo in a discouragingly long line of Tar Heels getting banged up. Coach Williams says the health of his players is even cutting into valuable practice time.
The only reason my head is we haven't had very many practices recently. I mean, you know, for very long periods of time because we've been trying to milk minutes for Marcus and Joel Berry's not out there and Luke and Stillman. I mean, Nate's the only healthy point guard and he got beat up tonight.
But back on the court, Wednesday night's road effort in Winston-Salem showcased a renewed commitment to aggression in the paint. Coach Williams says not much has changed since his prediction in the preseason. If the Tar Heels want to be a championship caliber basketball team, the big guys are going to have to do the heavy lifting.
I said we didn't have a summer press conference, is that right? The first press conference we had, that our team, the biggest thing is a couple of big guys had to step up and be big time players. And I'll still say that right now, because from the perimeter, we're okay. You know, Marcus hadn't played the way that I want him to play or the way he wants to play. But if the big guys give us those kind of numbers, that's pretty doggone good.
Injuries and foul trouble coupled to influence Coach Williams' decision to incorporate a 2-3 zone against the Deacs. But despite the burgeoning use of the zone, don't expect the Tar Heels to discard their preferred man-to-man style anytime soon. Junior forward Bryce Johnson says his teammates need to do a better job of avoiding fouls by playing smarter.
We went in a little zone, a little 2-3 zone, but at the same time, you can't rely on that every game. It's just something that was in the heat of the moment, coach decided to do, but from now on, we just got to watch our fouls. Don't make silly fouls. Just execute on defensive end.
UNC's balanced scoring has junior guard Marcus Page confident about the state of the Tar Heels as they progress deeper into the ACC gauntlet.
This game, we were able to get a nice, comfortable lead, in the high teens. So, Justin's playing better. Kennedy and Bryce are playing like the way they did tonight. That's great. JP's finding his comfort zone. I made a couple shots tonight, so I think we're starting to hit our stride.
UNC's opponent this weekend, FSU, could offer some resistance to a potential home steamrolling. The Seminoles, no longer an afterthought after their stirring 2012 ACC tournament title, will be hungry for another statement in a disappointing season to date. A pair of junior guards, Aaron Thomas and Monte Brandon, does most of the work for Leonard Hamilton's Seminoles, who have shown a knack for jumping up and surprising elite teams. One thing is for sure, the Seminoles should lace up their shoes tight against UNC. Coach Williams wants the Tar Heels to speed up proceedings.
I like the pace. Again, we're still not going as fast as I want us to go. If we were better shooters, I'd want us to go even faster, but I'd like to be more selective on our shot selects. And again, shoot 60% for the game is extremely good. If when we shoot the ball like that, I think we're a very good basketball team if you don't play stupid sometimes.
UNC leads the all-time series with FSU 46-12 and has emerged victorious the last four meetings. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Tonight in our WCHL High School Hoops Game of the Week, it's 9-5 Chapel Hill versus a 7-10 Northwood team looking to recover from tough back-to-back losses. Off to quite the start, the Tigers won seven of their last nine and put together a 4-2 record in Big 8 conference play. David Carraher is also coming up a huge 24-point, 13-rebound performance for Chapel Hill on Wednesday night against Northern Vance. Above the Rim with Matt and Adam kicks our coverage off on WCHL at 6:30 tonight, previewing all the area action on the high school hardwoods. The game starts immediately after at 7 o'clock. o'clock with Paul Connell and Adam Moore on the live play-by-play. That's coming up tonight right here on WCHL High School Basketball. It is 6:25. Time now for the Osgood File on WCHL.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by AJC. This is Charles Osgood. They say that when opportunity knocks, you better take advantage of it because opportunity knocks but once. NASA's Opportunity rover arrived on the planet Mars 11 years ago and started bouncing around on its surface and sending back pictures, says our CBS News colleague John Blackstone.
When the rover dropped onto Mars in 2004, it was designed to explore the red planet for 90 days.
But something unexpected happened.
11 years later, it's still roaming across Mars, sending back photos long after it was expected to retire.
We have a senior rover. It's in very good health, but it does have some symptoms of age.
John Callis, project manager for Opportunity, is dealing with a familiar symptom of aging. The rover is having trouble remembering.
The flash memory, the memory that we use to store the images on the rover, is wearing out on the rover on Mars, on Opportunity.
The story after this from David Harris of AJC.
The other evening, I watched the classic film, Fiddler on the Roof. I've seen it many times, but this time there was something different for me. At the story's end, the Jews are driven out of their homes in the village of Anatevka. The reason? Anti-Semitism. That was over a century ago. Now, watching the film, I thought of Jews in some European countries today thinking of leaving or having already left. Of course, there are differences. In Fiddler on the Roof, the Russian government was anti-Semitic. The governments of Europe today strongly oppose anti-Semitism. But increasing numbers of Jews fear these governments can no longer protect them from jihadist terror and other violence aimed at Jewish targets. Let's remember, history has shown that anti-Semitism may begin with Jews, but doesn't end there. Ultimately, it attacks the core values of democracy and pluralism. Stand with us and help us fight this scourge. Visit us at AJC.org. This is David Harris of AJC.
Paid for by AJC.
Here once again is our CBS News colleague, John Blackstone.
At NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena, Rebecca Sossland is working on a fix for Opportunity's fading memory.
She's old. She's almost 11 years old.
Sossland is young. She's 25. She's flight director for Opportunity.
Her mission should have ended when you were still in eighth grade.
That's right. And I never thought in a million years that I would have the opportunity to work on this project.
In what NASA calls a Mars yard, Sossland is working with Opportunity's Earth-based twin, testing ways to seal off the failing memory and keep the rover working.
Every single day that we have with her is one more treasured day that we can use to explore the surface of Mars.
Opportunity knocks but once, we all were told back when, but that's not so. For now we know it comes knocking again and again. The Osgood File. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
As bright fall days slide into frosty winter nights, the good cooking at Glass Half Full Restaurant and Wine Bar will warm your soul. How about a bowl of savory lentil soup to chase the chill? Freshly rolled beet pasta makes splendid lasagna. Does duck confit or braised lamb shank with root vegetables pair nicely with a glass of assertive red wine? Cold weather makes me hungry. Come to Glass Half Full in downtown Carrboro for lunch or dinner and see what's cooking now.
Ron Stutz has been your early morning host since 1977. That's a long time behind the mic. Ron has all your local news, sports, traffic and weather together, interviews with the newsmakers, commentaries, jokes, and a lot more. You'll hear from the whole WCHL news team, plus Freddie Kiger's trivia, Wayne Pond's word of the day, Art Chansky's sports notebook, the clean joke of the day, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. And you can wrap up your day with Aaron in the afternoon with the WCHL afternoon and evening news. In between, spend some time with Stephanie Miller and Tom Hartman. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Once again, here's Ron Stutz.
Well, good morning. It is 6:30, 34 degrees this morning, and the temperatures are going to probably stay in the 30s all day today. It's going to be cloudy, rain likely in the afternoon, much cooler temperatures. Highs today only in the upper 30s. Tonight we're looking at rain, near steady temperatures in the upper 30s. And then tomorrow, rain likely, mainly in the morning, high tomorrow in the low 40s. And Saturday night, clear, cold with a low in the low 30s. And then on Sunday, partly sunny and not as cool with a high in the low 50s. That's your weather for the weekend.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM, WCHL. And you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
Here's an update. I'm Dave Barrett in Tokyo. Prayers offered at a mosque as a deadline to pay a $200 million ransom has passed. Two Japanese hostages risk beheading by ISIS. Extremists have posted a countdown clock online showing images of other executed hostages. CBS's Lucy Kraft says a relative of one person held spoke to reporters in Tokyo.
Dressed in a turtleneck sweater and speaking softly as she wept, Junko Ishido begged for the release of her son, journalist Kenji Goto. To the people of Islamic State, Kenji is not your enemy, she said. Please let him go.
Through an interpreter, Japan's chief cabinet secretary, Yoshida Suga, says the government has not heard anything directly from ISIS.
The situation remains extremely severe, but the government will continue to put maximum effort into securing the release of the hostages.
Still, Japanese leaders have not indicated that they would pay a ransom to ISIS. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
I think that ransom amount was something like $200 million. Amazing. 6:32 WCHL with 34 degrees this morning and kind of a chilly day. Temperatures remaining in the upper 30s today. There is a chance of rain in the afternoon. I'm Ron Stutz. Another lawsuit has been filed alleging that the University of North Carolina did not provide a proper college education to its student athletes. A class action lawsuit was filed in Durham County on Thursday afternoon, and it involves a member of the McCants family. WCHL's Blake Hodge spoke with attorney Bob Orr, who filed this suit.
Who is actually listed as the plaintiffs on this lawsuit?
The two named plaintiffs and representatives of the class are two former UNC athletes, Rashonda McCants, who played on the women's basketball team, and Devin Ramsey, who played on the UNC football team.
And what are they seeking out of this lawsuit?
Well, the class action is against the NCAA and UNC, and it involves, of course, the failure of both the NCAA and UNC to deliver the commitment to a legitimate college education, which was breached through these, you know, they've been referred to as paper courses, but they're courses that there was no faculty involvement and that a number of athletes were put in, could be one class, could be a half dozen class, depending. But they're representatives of the class, and the class alleged in the complaint are all UNC football and men's and women's basketball players who took these academically unsound courses.
And are they alleging that they weren't given an opportunity to receive that education? I know that was listed going forward, that everyone received that education, or that they were receiving poor guidance along the way?
Well, I think the allegation, again, this is class action and not limited to the experience necessarily of either of the two named plaintiffs, but it's that systematically the class, as defined, was put into these classes that if the accreditation authorities reviewed them would say these don't count as college classes. There was no faculty involvement at the beginning. There was no faculty involvement during the course of the so-called class. There was no faculty involvement at the conclusion. And the allegations are that the class, you know, received less than what they bargained for when they became scholarship athletes at UNC, and that the NCAA was complicit in this system in a wide variety of ways.
That is Attorney Bob Orr speaking with WCHL's Blake Hodge. You can hear the interview again by visiting our website at chapelboro.com. There's a lot more to it than you heard this morning. It's quite long. The full UNC Board of Trustees convened yesterday at the Carolina Inn. As part of the consent agenda at that meeting, a design to improve pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicular access from Franklin Street to Cameron Avenue was presented for approval. As a result of that design, there would be 16 parking spaces lost in that immediate area. Board member Steve Lerner says that another issue caused some concern during the committee discussion on the project.
We are going to close off the Franklin Street entrance to Portal Alley, to an entrance or an entrance and exit off Columbia Street. It was concerned that this caused further pileup of a busy intersection.
Committee member Sally Shuping Russell was the only member to be opposed to the approval, saying she's concerned about the close proximity of major intersections.
My opposition to this was probably on the entryway, which I feel like really too close to the Franklin Street Columbia intersection, and was hoping that we could move back.
Lerner says he felt more comfortable regarding that concern once the town officials felt this would be an effective redesign. Lerner also says that input will continue to be offered as progress is made on the development in the case an issue is found. WCHL's Blake Hodge was there at that meeting yesterday. He was able to catch up with UNC Chancellor Carol Folt following the meeting, and you'll be able to hear portions of that conversation in the next few days here on WCHL. The Chapel Hill Town Council is considering options for redeveloping the park and ride lot at Southern Village. Town Council hired a consultant to help plan the future of the town-owned 8.5-acre lot. WCHL's Jagmeet Mack has more from last night's meeting.
Victor Dover, the consultant from the planning firm Dover Cole & Partners, facilitated the discussion at Thursday night's meeting. He said a park and ride lot functions this way.
Capturing an outer catchment or cloud of suburban drivers and hoping that we'll intercept them so that they don't ask us to store their big, expensive, space-consuming car in the center of town or on campus or at the Research Triangle where we don't have room for them. And instead, store them somewhere on the edge of town, use transit for the rest of their trip. That's the logic of the park and ride. Apart from the $2 that they pay to park in the park and ride, which barely helps with recovering any costs, they're not contributing economically to that place.
Dover said putting shops between the parking space and the bus stop might entice drivers to spend money locally. Dover listed several scenarios to start the conversation about the park and ride lot. One scenario has surface parking with a few mixed-use buildings. Another scenario includes a parking structure, several mixed-use buildings, an access lane with on-street parking and civic buildings. Southern area resident Gene Brown offered suggestions to the council as they consider the future of the park and ride lot.
Please make sure that your planning can be proactive, not reactive, to what is being proposed across the road.
Council members are considering redevelopment as they negotiate with East-West Partners, the future developer of the privately owned 120-acre property across the highway. This is the Obie Creek site, proposed as a residential, retail, and office development of up to 1.6 million square feet.
The time from 1:30 to 3 o'clock really is designed explicitly for the community.
That's correct.
So it's not just you can come,
right.
Please come.
That's Council Member Jim Ward encouraging people to come to Chapel Hill Town Hall for Friday's 1:30 p.m. meeting facilitated by Dover. The town hall address is 405 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. At a 4 p.m. meeting, council members will discuss the park and ride lot and Obie Creek with Dover and the developer. Jagmeet Mack, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Governor Pat McCrory says he's working on a new economic development strategy for North Carolina, although it's too early to release details about the plan. At a news conference yesterday for the opening of the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, McCrory said he's working with legislators on a plan called North Carolina Competes. He says that if North Carolina wants to compete with other southeastern states for companies, then he must have a firm strategy that can be communicated. McCrory and lawmakers created a partnership to take over corporate recruitment efforts previously housed in the State Commerce Department. It began operating in October. The partnership's new chief executive officer, Chris Chung, says economic development and job creation are too important for either the public or private sector to handle alone. Work-related deaths in our state have increased this past year. Preliminary figures released by the North Carolina Department of Labor reports work-related fatalities in 2014 almost doubled from the previous year to 44 deaths. In 2013, the department reported 23 deaths, the fewest in the previous 9 years. A statement from the department says the construction industry experienced 19 fatalities, 12 more than the previous year. Manufacturing had the second highest number of work-related deaths with 9, 5 more than the previous year. The services industry increased from 1 fatality to 6. Agriculture, forestry, and fishing deaths fell from 7 in 2013 to 3 last year. There were also 3 fatalities in the transportation and public utility industry. Mecklenburg County led the way with 5 fatalities. Union County and Wake County had 3 each. Forsyth, Gaston, Guilford, Henderson, and Pender each had 2 fatalities on the job. 641 WCHL. And boy, those numbers are mind-boggling. All those people dying on the job. So I hope that whatever you do is not that dangerous, not that conducive to serious accidents on the job. Of course, what we do every day is extremely hazardous.
Yeah.
Here at the radio station.
Very hazardous to your health.
There's so much heavy lifting and, you know, all this kind of stuff.
These chairs, they don't go up and down very easily.
Yeah,
really and hard to deal with.
We have to have some really, really serious safety equipment that we work with here.
Have to have one of those cups that the lid is tight on it so that the coffee doesn't burn you.
Yeah, and I have to strap myself into this chair every day. And
that's another story, though.
Yeah, that's true. This job is dangerous for a lot of other reasons.
Yeah.
Not physically dangerous. Well, sometimes it is.
Depends on which padded wall you bounce off of.
That's right. And there is a reason for these padded walls, and it's not buffering the sound either. Oh, my goodness.
Well, bless your heart.
How you doing this morning, Nikki Morse?
I'm great. How are you?
All right. Good to see you.
You too.
We have today's commentary on the way. You're going to love it. It's Vicki Ryder and the Raging Grannies.
Oh, I can't wait.
You're absolutely going to love it. And that'll be followed by Inside Carolina Basketball coming up right after that. And, of course, Nikki is here to keep a close eye on your morning traffic. It is her number one priority. A list of 5,256 things that she does in the morning.
Right.
642.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary 4-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Well, it's almost February, and that means two things. Valentine's Day is coming, and Grimble Jewelers will be visiting the world's largest gem and mineral show in Tucson, Arizona. Gem miners and dealers from the world over save up the best of what they have to show at this annual event. Sapphires from Sri Lanka, rubies from Burma, emeralds from Colombia, aqua and amethyst from Brazil. The small, shiny objects of the world, from the best known to the most obscure, will be available for 1 week in Tucson. If you've ever wanted a particular gemstone, maybe something you've been on a quest for years, drop by Grimble Jewelers or give us a call. The selection and prices at this show are incredible. If you've always wanted a 3-carat red emerald, yes, it's very rare, but emerald actually does come in red, let us know. Or perhaps an opal to match the earring you lost dancing in 1992. We can find it. We're making our shopping list, so let us know if we can find the perfect gem for you. Grimble Jewelers, 929-2580. Grimble Jewelers, because we are hardwired to love small, shiny objects.
All right, Berkeley, good job on the drums there, too. 644, 34 degrees in Chapel Hill, 33 this morning in Carrboro.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Vicki Ryder. As a grandmother, I wouldn't dream of giving my grandchildren water laced with arsenic and other deadly poisons, but that's exactly what I'd be doing if fracking comes to North Carolina. The politicians making life and death decisions for us in Raleigh voted to allow fracking before any guidelines were set in place to make it less dangerous. I say less dangerous, not safe, because there is no way to make fracking safe. When they lifted the moratorium, Tillis and McCrory promised to wait until safety rules were set. Now, they not only broke that promise, but passed laws making it a crime to reveal what toxins will be pumped into the ground and illegal for towns like Chapel Hill to keep frackers and their poisonous waste out. A recent study by two leading research centers has linked an alarming increase in birth defects to fracking. Don't let that happen here. You can have a say in our children's futures by sending your thoughts to the Oil and Gas Program Division of Energy, Mineral, and Land Resources, 1612 Mail Services Center, Raleigh, 27699. Don't hold back. The raging grannies don't. They say, by the light,
not the dark, but the light
of their poisonous waste.
Oh, haste makes waste.
Those fracking guys
we despise
want to profit from drilling down. We'll all see,
all of us, you and me,
mutant beings galore.
Oh, no such gore.
Five legs, four arms, three lips, such harm will be coming to town if we don't stop them now. This is Vicki Ryder.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Inside Carolina Basketball with Roy Williams is brought to you by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Carolina will host Florida State tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in the season's only meeting between the Tar Heels and Seminoles. While FSU has had an inconsistent season to this point, sitting at 10-9 overall and 2-4 in conference play, the Noles are still loaded with size and athleticism and will present a stern test for the Heels. Here's Tar Heel head coach Roy Williams.
They've had an up and down season a little bit since we got into conference play. I thought they were going to be a really good team this year. Still think that. We can't rest on what has happened. We've got to play today.
My name is Mandy, and my husband Brian was killed by a drunk driver when our son Carson was just 5 months old. In an instant, I became a 26-year-old widow with a new baby to raise on my own. That was over 10 years ago, and Carson has grown into a handsome boy with the same blonde hair and love for sports his daddy had, but he will always have a void that can never be filled. Carson has cried himself to sleep countless nights, missing the daddy he never knew. If your plans include alcohol, please include a non-drinking designated driver. Don't you think every child deserves to grow up with their dad?
Yeah, what do you want?
It's never too early to talk with your kids about the dangers of alcohol. But it can be too late. In North Carolina, more than four people are injured every day as a result of underage drinking. Start the conversation. Stop underage drinking. Visit talkitoutnc.org.
Tomorrow's game starts a stretch for Carolina with a lot of games in a short amount of time, with the Tar Heels a little short on personnel.
Four games in 8 or 9 days, and then we have like 6 days with none. And it's difficult right now. Nate's got 15 stitches in his mouth. Theo's got a banged up ankle. We already know we don't have Joel. So we're a little thin on the perimeter right now, and it's something that we're very concerned about.
Florida State and Carolina go at it tomorrow in the Smith Center. Tip is scheduled for 2 o'clock. Tar Heel Sports Network airtime is 1 p.m.
Inside Carolina Basketball with Roy Williams has been brought to you by the North Carolina ABC Commission,
Start the conversation. Stop underage drinking.
All right, we'll have that game for you this weekend right here on WCHL, of course. 6:49, I'm Ron Stutz, and coming up next, we'll take a look at your traffic and weather together.
The year-end carryover sales event is happening now at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. If you think you missed the awesome year-end sales incentives when the clock struck midnight on December 31st, you're in luck. The year-end event continues through January only at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. During the year-end carryover sales event, leases start at $209 per month, such as a 2015 Subaru Impreza 2.0i Premium for $209 per month. That's right. New Subaru leases start at $209 per month at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. We also have finance rates as low as 0.9% on select models. Listen to what Matt had to say about his Performance Subaru experience.
I bought my first Subaru from Performance Subaru and couldn't have been more satisfied with the experience. I worked with Galen Ferboni and his sales manager, Anna Latta, and they were very easy to work with, low pressure, and gave me a great deal on the car I purchased.
Now that's a wow. Visit PerformanceSubaru.com where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill just a quarter mile off I-40. Wow.
E5515, FJF11, 42-month lease with 10K miles per year, based on MSRP of $23,504 and selling price of $22,299 with $2,528 due assigning. Includes tax, tag, and $649 admin fee. $0 security deposit. Dealer retains manufacturer incentives. Financing with approved credit. See dealer for details. Take delivery by January 31st, 2015.
Thousands of people around the country are switching from smoking to vaping. This is the Vapor Girl telling you that I turned a lifetime of chain smoking into vaping. Our customers find vaping is cleaner, healthier, and they love our hundreds of flavors that we create right here in Chapel Hill from homegrown tobacco. The Vapor Girl has everything you need to make the switch yourself. No more cigarette smell, no more cigarette butts. Visit one of the Vapor Girl retail locations in Chapel Hill, Durham, and Pittsburgh, each with a vapor bar for sampling. For more information, go to thevaporgirl.com.
Alrighty then, time now for traffic and weather together. WCHL and this traffic report is brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, thank you very much.
One more time, here is Nikki Morse.
Looking pretty good on the roadways. You know why?
Why?
It's Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Friday mornings. Everybody kind of sprinkles in there. And
I don't know why that is.
I do, because there's, you know, it's the end of the week.
But Friday afternoon will be just a bear.
I know. I don't know. I don't get it either. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. Traffic's still very light this morning if you're heading out of the house. Northbound 15501 in good shape as you make your way out of Chapel Hill towards I-40. No problems once you access I-40. Eastbound delay-free trip to the airport or maybe the RTP if you going to work or have an early morning flight. 40 East delay-free, 86 all the way out to the airport. Exits. If you see anything while traveling, you could be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Watch out for those, the geese in flight and the dogs at bite. Grimble Jewelers has your engagement ring. If you've been thinking about getting engaged for a long time, been thinking about popping the question, well, go see Berkeley Grimble at Grimble's, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this, brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point. It's 35 degrees in Chapel Hill, 34 this morning in Carborough. Cloudy skies, rain likely in the afternoon, much cooler. High today only in the upper 30s, so it's going to stay almost where it is right now. Tonight we're looking at a big chance of rain near steady temperatures in the upper 30s. And then tomorrow, rain likely, especially in the morning, our high tomorrow in the low 40s. Crown Honda of South Point is a home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service and Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now, time for celebrity birthdays on WCHL. Actress Jean Moreau, 87 years old today. Actor Gil Gerard, 72. Let's see here. Anita Pointer, one of the Pointer sisters, 67. Actor Richard Dean Anderson, 65. Princess Caroline of Monaco, 58 years old today. Singer Anita Baker is 57. Actress Gail O'Grady, 52. Actress Mariska Hargitay is 51. She's on Law & Order, SVU. Really, really good actress. Actress Tiffany Thiessen is 41 years old today. Got some local celebrities celebrating birthdays today. We'll start with Jerry Williams. Not a resident here anymore, but was up until recently. And Jerry, the guy who coordinates Carborough Music Festival and a whole lot of other good stuff. Good guy. He has a birthday today. Annetta Streeter, the Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board, has a birthday today, as does Reverend Thomas Nixon, Callie Anderson, and Gary Phillips over at Weaver Street Realty. Happy birthday to all of you fine folks from all of us at WCHL. All right, time now for trivia on WCHL. What a way to start the day. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Kiger.
Fred W. Kiger.
Fred Wagoner Kiger.
W-A-G-G-O-N-E-R.
Yeah, you got to put those two G's in there.
That's correct. As opposed to my dentists,
uh-huh.
Joel and Andrew, W-A-G-O-N-E-R.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yep. Or, not to be confused with W-A-G-N-E-R.
Uh-huh.
Wagner.
Okay.
I don't know. How many spellings you got for Stutz? It could be S-T-U-T-Z.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that how Stutz Bearcat is spelled? Or?
Yep, that's right. I think it actually started out that way many, many years ago.
You're German?
I think, I guess of German descent.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I am.
But I think it started out as S-T-U-T-Z, and somewhere along the line, somebody changed the spelling. I don't
gotcha.
Know. Why,
I know, ours did.
Why or when.
Yeah.
But I get all kinds of, when somebody tries to spell my name, I mean, I don't know why, but I get Stultz.
Yeah.
Stats.
Yeah.
All kinds of stupid stuff.
Right.
I mean, how can you possibly spell? It's pretty simple to me. It would have to be either S-T-U-T-T-S or S-T-U-T-Z, or it could perhaps be S-T-U-T-Z. I mean, S-T-U-T-S, just one S, one T. But I don't know how these other people put L's in there and R's and all kinds.
They're not enunciating clearly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I get K-E-I or K-I-E-G-E-R.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Just K-I-G-E-R. And we used to be Geigers, G-E-I-G-E-R.
Yeah.
In fact, you might say that I could be a trivia Geiger counter.
Yes, you could. Because, you know, I know that you are all involved with stats and all this kind of stuff and the work you do for basketball and football.
Well, who knows?
Hey.
Michael Korn used to call me that.
Really?
The Kiger. The Geiger counter.
The Geiger counter.
Yeah. Right. Or the Kiger counter, whatever.
Well, if you call something by Michael Korn, that's pretty cool. He was
good
a good
guy.
One.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, well, today we're doing art.
Art. Art Chansky?
Yeah, well, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah, art. In the movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
What food does Richard Dreyfuss use to sculpt Devil's Tower, Wyoming?
What food does he use?
Yes. He's sitting at the dinner table with his wife and kids, and of course he's already had the encounter. Something impressed upon his mind, and he's sitting there absent-mindedly with his food, and he's sculpting Devil's Tower.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
My dad is humbled by this attention that he's been getting since he retired. If it was up to him, no one would have made a big deal of it, but he has honored me, and it's always throughout my life. I wanted to take a chance to honor him. I had no idea. He had no idea. There was going to be a Carver Day for him, and he just couldn't stop smiling for 48 hours. He's just in awe, really, of the community, just talking about him and really celebrating him.
Donnie Pendergrass is today's WCHL hometown hero, and Donnie recently retired from the post office, and we have Donnie's son, Hathaway, with us now. And Hathaway, I know that Donnie is really happy to be retired, and he's kind of relaxing right now, right?
Yeah, enjoying the days now that he can dog sit and just relax the house.
I know that Donnie Pendergrass started working for the United States Postal Service in 1965, and that's a long time to be with any employer.
Oh, yeah. I really don't know many other people who'd stay with one employer for that long.
When you were growing up, I remember you playing rec league baseball and basketball, and I remember your dad was always there. I'm sure that you can probably say that about everything in your life. He's always been there for you.
Well, he worked Monday through Saturday. Usually, he never missed any of my athletic events or anything involved in school, and he was always coaching or somewhere involved, and he always has been super supportive. I think the most emotional he ever got was when I got into UNC. He was even more excited than I was, I think.
During all those years, he worked at the post office.
He was a postal carrier his entire career, and his route was everywhere over 47 years. I think he delivered mail to every single mailbox in Carrboro. Actually walked over a million miles.
That is amazing. Donnie Pendergrass really loved his work. I've heard him say that. What do you think it was that he enjoyed so much about it?
The people, helping people when they had issues either with their mail or making sure that their house was safe when they were out of town.
And when you get somebody who has that kind of longevity in a career, I mean, that really is something to look up to.
I think he's taught many people, especially me, my work ethic. I just looked at him in many days where you would have to go to bed at 8:30 to make sure you can get up at 5 and make it into the office. And no matter rain, sleet, or snow, he was always at work.
He officially retired December 31st. There was recently Donnie Pendergrass Day in Carrboro. What is he doing now? now that he's not going to work every day there?
Dog sitting my lab. Loves my dog. He's doing a little part-time work at doing some security work. The most fun he's having is just relaxing in retirement with my mom.
Well, Hathaway Pendergrass, we appreciate your being with us and telling us about your dad. I know you're proud of him. And Donnie Pendergrass, nearly half a century as a postal carrier, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Well, thank you so much, Donnie Pendergrass. What a great guy. 659 at WCHL. And congratulations to Scott Jarrett, who called in with the answer to Freddie's trivia question this morning. He wanted to know what it was that Richard Dreyfuss's character was sculpting the tower out of in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. The answer is mashed potatoes. Now, to be honest with you, a lot of people knew the answer to the question, but Scott Jarrett was just the first to get in. Thanks for all those phone calls. All of you folks who knew it, apologize. I was not able to get to all the answers or all the callers. And Scott Jarrett, you have a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Everybody else, just keep trying. It'll be cloudy today, rain likely, high today only in the upper 30s. Right now it is 35 degrees, 7 o'clock.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News.